thank you so much for jumping on board with this. I know we planned to talk quite a bit earlier, but then the delays happened. Now, PewDiePie, it's been out for 2 weeks today. What are your first impressions of it, dude? I haven't watched any of your videos except your very heartfelt address.
Okay. I'll give you the chronological feelings of how it went. So I started, and in the beginning, I was really enjoying the campaign. It was like an absolute blast. Had a good time. And then I got to Act 3 Utzo, and I was still having a good time, but then I was kind of like, oh, this is a little bit annoying. And then I went through and did it on Cruel, and by the time I hit Act 3 Cruel, that Utzo level again, I fucking hated Utzo already by the time I was just getting through like the first Cruel campaign. Then I got the in-game maps. And in-game maps were feeling pretty good. I was like, okay, this is fun. And then I realized there's no loot. There's no goddamn loot in the game. And it was feeling terrible. Then they did the changes to loot. Loot immediately felt better. And then I got far enough in the maps that I was starting to lose map sustain around 6 or 7. And that was annoying. So then I messed around with the Atlas a whole bunch and to get it to where I could actually sustain, which made me feel like shoehorned into getting the Atlas to work. And then I started the sustain, started to feel better. Then I got to like 14, 15, 16, like the later tier maps, right? And the loot started to pour in a little bit better. And then I was getting one shot all the time, no matter I'm like, you know, 71% armor, max of every resistance, almost completely max chaos results was like 67 to 68% or something. Still getting one shot with 4,000 HP and all the, you know, with a shield, 71% armor, all this shit. And I was like, okay, well, that feels terrible. Then they addressed the chaos damage, and now I'm feeling pretty good. Well, so it's been a little bit of a, like a...
Yeah. Roller coaster of friction is almost what it sounds like. A lot of things that you run into, you're forced to solve them, and you move forward after finicking a lot with them. And how fast did you actually progress through? Were you in endgame day one? Was it a day two sort of thing?
Oh, no. I did a 27-hour stream the first day, and I don't remember how long it took me to beat the campaign. I think it took me quite a while. I might have been in-game that first... It wasn't the first day, because it was 27-hour stream. It might have been the first stream that we made to in-game. Right. But, you know, it took me a while. And I sure as hell didn't have the ascendancies done the first, you know, day or anything like that. Because the trials were an absolute nightmare. So I think it was probably stream number two that we ended up in in-game... So probably like, I want to say maybe 30-ish hours. So it took me a while. It took me a while to get through to a point. But I don't quite remember, to be honest with you. The whole week's kind of a blur. I've been more streaming than doing anything else right now. So
100%. And you did it on the Warrior, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I did it on the Warrior.
That's quite impressive, dude. Really?
It's not that bad. It's a little bit of a meme, but it's not that bad.
I've been hearing from everybody. I'm on the Monk, so I'm basically cheating in the game right now in the eyes of many. How does the Warrior feel? Because I've just been hearing clunky, slow. Like you said, you were still getting one shot despite stacking defenses. How did that progression feel like going through Acts 1 through 3 to Cruel and to the endgame, besides the Atzawadl or the Utzal area smacking you both times?
It was a mix of like extremely good and extremely... you know, extremely dog shit, because basically the good was when I got to a boss, I would like basically completely one shot a boss. Like I had this build that I was using Sunder, and I was enjoying the boss fights itself, because I would knock them, do this combo of Sunder, but Sunder is like absolute ass for mobs. It's fucking terrible, basically, because you have this move. It's literally 0.3 seconds, so it takes. Like 3 full seconds to cast one move. I mean, your guy literally goes, it's like 3 entire seconds of a move. And so if you're doing that for every white mob, like you are, you know, you're straight up taking like an hour to clear a map, especially these like maze maps that are like fucking everywhere. So it felt terrible. Like leveling with Sunder, I wouldn't recommend leveling with Sunder at all, but then I get to a boss and I one shot a boss and be like, okay, it was all worth it. And then I'd have to go and like level with Sunder again. And it took me a while to like actually get Stampede to work where, you know, Stampede felt good and all that. So I don't know, man. I don't think Warrior's like a first character. I feel like Warrior would be a lot better as a second character. Like, it's not like a league star there. I'd play Sorka Ranger, like, literally anything else, and then put some good gear in the Warrior. Because the Warrior can actually feel good. Like, I'm blasting through maps. I can do all the maps. Everything's fine now. You can crush them. Stampede's insane. But to start with, when you have no gear at the beginning of the game, when you're learning the game, yeah, probably not Warrior, to be honest. I mean,
did you luck out at all with any gear early on, or were you stuck with a shite weapon? And maybe that made it feel a little bit worse, because personally, I got a really good hammer on my work. I'm literally only in Act 2, but everything is just dying with Rolling Slam and Bone Shatter. Like, I'm not even using Sunder yet. Everything's just dying in like 2 hits.
And you just got that 50% buff on Rolling Slam also.
Right. It felt even better with Bone Shatter into Rolling Slam. Oh my God. Good.
Well, my problem was I was basically overkilling. So it's you know, the damage almost didn't matter. I could have been hitting with a feather and probably overkill him, because I just took all the more damage on the tree and the heavy stun combo. With their heavy stun, like, they're going to die in one shot no matter what. So it was, I don't think I got a good weapon until later on. And I crafted like one of the best weapons I've literally ever seen. And I sold it, and I shouldn't have sold it, because it's probably the best item I'll ever craft in this game.
Oh.
And it would have been nice to keep it as like a trophy. But No, I didn't. I don't think I got too lucky with gear. It was pretty standard. It felt pretty standard playthrough. Like, I don't think I got below average. I don't think I got above average. I did craft like a couple good banger weapons once I was in like late game maps. But for the first bit, no, it was pretty standard luck, to be quite honest. You said you got kind of lucky though, or?
Yeah, I got a hammer with increased fizz added to attacks and fire. And I could just smash everything. I mean, the act boss died very quickly. I went through the manor very easily. And that was not my experience on my monk. My monk was way different. That first playthrough, when I did not have good gear, when it was day one, I was experiencing all this for the first time. It was pretty rough. But immediately on my second playthrough, man, everything just went way smoother. Like, I did act one in an hour 10 on my warrior. What the? That's crazy, because it took me 6 hours on my monk, dude. Have you played a second character yet, or are you just on your warrior going deep into endgame?
I'm in maps now on my second. It took me, you know, with a bunch of trading and AFKing, it took me 17 hours on the Sork to get through to endgame. But I think about 5 hours of that is literally like me AFK or talking in trade or something. Like, I'm pretty sure I can get through the campaign in like 12 hours or so at this point to get to maps. But it was way smoother. I mean, once you have a little bit of gear, even just boots, like even just having Wanderlust or something on the boots just to get you through will massively speed up the playthrough on the second one. Or knowing where the things are, knowing which guys you don't have to fight is actually a super increase as well. So the second playthrough is like drastically easier for me, for sure.
Player knowledge is a big part, even of Path of Exile 2, even though you can brute force everything with player skill, I think, in Path of Exile 2. Which was a pretty heated topic of debate the first 2 weeks of the game. And again, I haven't watched any of your stuff. I've been pretty blind. What is your, not necessarily like stance on the issue, but what are your thoughts on it? Do you think that the player skill thing wasn't something that was really in PoE 1? So maybe some people are shocked that you can overcome things with skill if you're not getting the gear. And a lot of people weren't getting the gear that first week. And that was probably a really crappy experience. Or do you think there's a, you know, a different solution or viewpoint on it?
Well, no, I think there's some pretty legitimate complaints, because I don't know how early you got into maps, but if you got into maps pretty early before any of these changes hit, like I don't think the game was in a perfectly balanced state or even remotely close to it.
I'm not even maps. I'm merely talking about those first three acts, because I think that's where a lot of the players immediately were like, oh my gosh.
Okay, well, maps? Sure, I can address that, then we can talk about maps. I mean, I think in my first Exile Orb to, like, level 46, I was, like, already in Cruel before I got my first Exile Orb. So, you know, if you want to talk about getting lucky, like, I mean, I didn't experience that. And I literally relogged my character multiple times thinking I was bugged or something, because people are like, I got 5 in Act 1 or whatever. It's like, I literally got 0 of them, and I did all of the side content. So, you know, I had what was in my experience what I would consider a dog shit experience of you know, I literally was not getting currency drops. I'm playing warrior pre-buff in you know, blind into the content, and I started hardcore and then made it to executioner before I died. You know, I think even so, knowing that I had what I would consider like a rougher start of it, I still think that there are some legitimacies in what people say about the difficulty of the game. The only difference is, while I agree with people, yeah, it's a difficult game. You can get gated out a bit. I saw this happen to some friends of mine. They would, you know, get stuck in Act 1 or something. You know, they can't beat the Iron Wolf. I understand that, and you can kind of RNG your way out of the, like, if you RNG into bad currency drops and you literally can't get the gear, like, I get it, you gotta go farm or something, which is just like a feels better. You gotta gamble, farm gold and gamble or something. And I struggle with it because, like, I kind of wanted to say, like, if you can't beat the Act 1 boss, it's a skill issue. But then at the same time, I literally experience getting dog shit drops. So, like, I know that that can happen, and it can happen on a spectrum. So there's people that's, like, not only didn't get currency drops like I did, but also probably didn't get, like, any good gear drops, and they literally just got fucked. Like, I guarantee you that happened to some people. So I can't really counter those people's experiences with just get good, because they're probably getting one-shot by stuff by the time they get there. I don't say I'd want it to change, though. Like, I don't think they should. What I said in my video, you said you didn't watch any of this. So my review of the video was this, which is, like, don't lower the difficulty of the bosses. I don't want you to remove skills from the bosses, lower the damage to the boss. I don't want you to touch the bosses. Leave the bosses like they are. What I want you to do instead is give players the opportunity to interact with the systems to make their characters stronger. And for me, that was things like actually making the currency drops better, which they did. So that my review pre-buffs was, players don't have enough opportunity to interact with the systems you already have in the game. Therefore, their player power can be extremely low in order to fight the challenges. I don't want the challenges to be lower. I want the players to have the opportunity to actually interact with the game in order to level up. And I didn't think that they were given enough opportunity to do so. Since the changes, and in my second playthrough, it is a night and day difference. Maybe I just got hyper unlucky the first time around. They did the changes, and then I got lucky the second time. But, I mean, I'm getting exalts like crazy. I think I got, like, 10 just going through the campaign or something, as opposed to one in Cruel. So, you know, I don't think they should lower the difficulty is where I'm going with it. I struggle with it a little bit because I don't want people to be locked out of a game I believe is very good. But I look at the game and I saw that someone was just talking about this in chat earlier, which is like, they're literally stuck on Act 2. And then someone else recommended go buy a carry. And it's like, I don't think this should ever be the solution. Like, if you get stuck on a boss, you know, the game's only going to get harder. Like, you're not going to, you know, be like, I get stuck in Act 1, I get carried through Act 1, I'm good the rest of the game. Like, no, you're going to hit Act 2 boss, you're going to hit Act 3 boss, then you're going to hit end game, and then if you want to actually push into the maps, you're going to struggle with some maps, and then you're going to struggle against, like, the game's a bit of a, this is an ARPG, the game's a bit of a struggle, you're going to have to get your character stronger. And I think the solution is not necessarily in lowering the overall challenge of the bosses, but the solution is in offering opportunities for the players to become stronger through interactions of the crafting and gearing and you know, leveling type of systems, and explaining those as well to people too. Like, I would say the reforging bench, in my opinion, there should be better highlights, like, you know how they pop up and stop you, like, dodge now, like in the very tutorial. There should be some more of those tutorials explaining some side quests, like, hey, you should go do the reforger, this is what it does, like the three, the ones up something, you should go to the salvage bench, this is what it does. Like, I understand it's early access, they're still going to be adding this, but I definitely think there should be some more of those, like, freeze time, this is the tutorial, please do this. Like, because there's a lot of people, I'm sure, they're skipping salvage bench, skipping reforge, not sharing how sockets work, don't know resistances. Like, I think they did a great job in the tutorial of, like, showing here's spacebar, here's potions, etc. Now continue to do that throughout the beginning of, like, Act 1, showing resistances and armor. Like explain the game more, and I think people will be able to overcome these challenges easier than they already are.
Totally. A crafting quest that gives you one of each basic currency and says, you have to use this on a white base right now to progress, or you can't, something like that. Because I use my personal anecdotes all the time right now, because everybody close to me has tried this game, essentially, including my dad.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, he loves it, but
that's great.
He got hard stuck in Act 1, and I went over to his house, checked out his character. He didn't use any of his uncut support gems. He didn't use any of his crafting currency. He's like, I feel like I might need this later, so I'm just going to stock up on it right now. Maybe I don't use it. So I wonder if a lot of people are getting into that gaming mindset, as many do when they play other games, where they're like, oh, I'm just going to keep all my health potions. I'll use them eventually, right? With all the tools that Grinding Gear Games thought they were giving players that they need to use in that first act to progress, and they're just stockpiling everything. So I feel like encouraging players to engage with the systems is necessary. I have to do that because some players just won't unless they're told to.
So, yeah, I mean, your dad's kind of base stockpiling, I'm not going to lie. Like, the hoarding mentality in MMOs and shit is, like, I actually really appeal to that. I do the same thing.
Yeah, and I
kind of like the hoarding mentality because Lair's like, you never know. Like, the item could just be right around the corner of the drop site. I really wish I had that currency. Exactly, so, right. Your dad's an SSF player in the making.
There you go. There you go. And now, though, he's been using our guild stash. He's been really liking it, you know? He's just... free use of all this stuff. He's going in, pulling out these items. He's loving it. He's progressing now. He's got a monk. He's
cool,
got a
your
ranger.
Parents. That's cool. Your parents play, man. They must be really excited for you. You've had a really good couple months here.
Yeah, yeah. They've been very, very supportive, especially with my daughter.
That's been really nice.
And it's a joy being able to share this with them and literally everybody close to me. Like I said, like my wife, she loves the game too. She hated Path of Exile 1. She really likes Path of Exile 2. She has a sorceress that's entering Act 3 right now. She was stuck on the quadrilla for like 2 hours. It was the funniest thing because she doesn't want help, right? She wants to do it herself. And yeah, she kept getting bonked and then rolled on. Oh, it was the funniest thing, dude.
No, that's fucking great, dude. If you got the people that would sit there and fight the fight over and over and over again, it's like, God bless you. Like, I absolutely love it. That's what I do in Elden Ring. You know how hard I rage when I'm sitting there streaming Elden Ring and I'm like trying to kill the same boss over and over. And everyone knows, like, damn, just go run around, level up, go this side. It's like, I'm not gonna do that shit. I don't care. I feel like he is beatable now. So I'm going to sit there for 4 hours, and that took some of the bosses have literally took me 6 hours because I'm like, you know, way too fucking low level or whatever. But I'm just going to sit here and grind, and you can't tell me otherwise. And I know that they talked about that in one of the interviews. I don't know if it was your interview or someone's interview where it's like they found players were doing that, where they just sit there and like smash their head against it, and they want to like have people go to the other side. But I'm still thinking, it's like, I don't want to do that, man. If I'm by the boss already, that boss is going to die. I don't care how long it takes me.
Yeah, she beat him in an hour and a half. It worked, you know? Yeah. She made like one small tweak once, and after 5 more tries, she was able to down him, which was awesome. I loved it. You know, big cheer and everything. It's those sort of moments that I really like in Path of Exile 2, and it's why I am of the opinion, just heading into T12 maps right now, or Waystones, about to hit T4. I have my first T14 drop, so I'm getting into the end of the end game, hopefully to fight some pinnacles soon. It's why I preferred my Act 1 through 3 experience more so than Endgame right now, which is interesting to me. And I think it's a really interesting topic to talk about because I know they pivoted and started working on the Endgame the past 5 or 6 months, and they really wanted to make it this good experience. When I entered Endgame, I felt kind of the opposite. I felt like it swapped on a dime to a game I love, Path of Exile 1. And I felt like I was playing PoE 1. I'm on a monk. I'm moving fast, right? I really feel like I'm playing PoE 1 right now. I'm not kidding you. So
yeah, you're like the only one that feels
am I the only one that feels this
There's
way?
There's no way, brother. There's
really?
No way.
Okay, go in. Go in, dude, because I want to hear your experience as a warrior.
I mean, dude, I love the game. Don't get me wrong. But, like, in-game mapping, I don't know if it's it yet. Like, this shit does not feel like PoE 1 to me. I mean, like, maybe it's because I am playing warrior. But it's like, but I'm not zooming. I'm not. Maybe you could zoom. Maybe you could do team party shit with magic fire and get billion drops. It don't feel that way to me. I get an exiled orb every now and then. I mean, I've done, you know, tier 16 maps, Foley, fucking whatever, big cocked all the way up, you know. And it doesn't. I am not getting drops like you would expect. Like, it's just like exiled orb here, and then it's the same basis that I would get even if I'm like doing the tier. Like, I have yet to really see the difference between a tier 10 and tier 16. Like, to be honest with you, like, I don't really see the differences. Yeah, at least in the loot, like, it kind of feels all samey. And then the movement speed is super fucking slow. I mean, I got the boots and everything. Sure, I'm not playing monks. I'm not warping around grand. I'm playing warrior. I'm stampeding through. And it's like, yeah, I can clear the maps. Yeah, I can do it. But there's no travel skills. The drops are pretty low. The Atlas, while I was originally pretty cool about it, bro, I do not like RNG on the Atlas. I'm trying to find these citadels, and I've played 150 hours of mapping, and I have not found one. I have not found a single citadel.
Bro,
and sometimes you're going in the Atlas and it just fucking stops And then the only way to, like, they don't connect. And the only way to go is you have to go all the way down for some reason in a way you haven't gone and then loop back around. And it's like, I think the original bones of the end game is pretty cool. Like, I prefer POE 2 right now, personally. Now, if POE 1 had the graphics and the visuals and the hype around the launch, and maybe I'd be, you know, saying I prefer POE 1. But right now, I'm actually having like a 9 out of 10 experience in POE 2. I'm very much enjoying it. But the end game definitely has some room to improve in my personal experience.
Yeah.
And I really kind of don't like the finding the rare mob maps thing. The rare mods in the maps. I don't understand why we couldn't just have a boss to kill at the end. I think Zizarin hit it 100,000% correct when he said that they're just put one of the bosses, you design these super fucking cool bosses, put them in every map, have it be the end of the map. Then the ones that have the bosses or the big, you know, the big Dorianis or whatever, 100% agree with him. That would be a fantastic change. And I feel like the loot disparity between like tier 10 and like tier 15, 16s don't really make a lot of sense. Maybe you got a magic find it up to the tits or something. I just don't get it yet. But yeah, no, it's like, I definitely think the end game is the part of the game that has like the most to improve for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I'm not really worried about the cruel experience because I know that's very temporary and it's going to shift quite quickly once we have Acts 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah,
The end game one, I think I communicated this improperly to you. I feel like the gameplay feel when I step into end game feels more like PoE 1. I feel like in Acts 1 through 3, I was more engaged in everything and I was, you know, thinking about my movements and, you know, I was constantly progressing in items and the like. I've been in maps now for about a week and I'm spamming, just killing monsters, like you said, looking for the rares. I'm rarely finding bosses, even though I rush to every boss node because I love the bosses. I want more of the bosses. And in the campaign, every zone you're killing a boss. Every zone you feel like you're getting something meaningful for your build. Or at least I did with my luck, right? Maybe that's not the case for everybody. But in the end game so far, the bosses are so lacking. And if you die once, you're screwed. And that feeling we were talking about of being able to, you know, fight against this boss over and over, that's non-existent in PoE 2 right now. I don't know if it ever will exist in the end game. But man, did it feel good to fight against the Act 1 boss for the first time, the Iron Count. We're 2 weeks in.
The bosses are like 10 out of 10, 11 out of 10. The bosses are literally like what was getting me sold on the game when we were playtesting it.
Oh, yeah.
And in those playtests we did, it was easily the bosses that were most exciting. And I mean, they followed up. Like, all of the bosses are good. And the pinnacle bosses are really fucking awesome. I mean, Trial Master, the Breach boss, all these are good. These are well-designed bosses. I think the Trial Master, like, could probably be tweaked. He's, like, giga tanky. And, like, you basically, I mean, at least my build, like, you just don't die to him. Like, I could literally face tank him. Like, he ain't going to kill me. But, like, the Pinnacle Breach boss is one of the best bosses I've seen. Like, it's super good. It's hard, but feels fair. I haven't done Arbiter yet. I've heard Arbiter is, like, actually a meme. Like, it's just completely unfair, but...
Really?
Oh, I've yet to see.
I've only seen the name. I haven't seen the boss at all either, so I have no idea.
I'm blind to it. I didn't watch a video on it because I want to go in blind. But I hear it's... I thought Neversink... I don't know if you follow Neversink on Twitter, but I thought he had probably the best take of in-game... next to Zizarin that I had seen, and he kind of talks about you should, it's a long, I'm not gonna break it all down, but like he has a pretty good like multi-threaded tweet where he breaks down some of the issues with in-game, and I tend to agree with him and Zizarin, which is like the game is super fun, but like in-game definitely has some changes that needs to be made.
Yeah, the triangle of feedback, that thread I think he's talking about.
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember the triangle particularly, but he did. He had like 8 or 9 different posts in there, and I was reading these. I'm like, this guy absolutely knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, he always has the most thoughtful feedback posts or Path of Exile. Like every league, he does the same thing 2-3 days into it. He does a big Twitter thread, and it's always like, oh, you have your finger on the pulse, essentially, of all the things like I'm thinking, what I can't articulate properly. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Neversink. He's got a powerful voice, too. So, well, that's curious, man. Okay. I cannot believe you're scaring me, dude, because I am not going to be able to play 150 hours in the next.
I mean, it's RNG. Months. If you're talking about Sithos, it's RNG.
That's rough, man. There's no deterministic system to that.
I mean, not that I know, man. I could be wrong, but not that I know. Like, I've gone maybe my problem is like trying to go like every direction. Like I was like going down a circle trying to find all of it. Like I'm literally running to like the ends where I have to go down and then around stuff. And I've seen zero citadels. I actually wrote a new character because I didn't realize the atlases were tied together. So I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna roll a new character, get the end game, got the end game, go to open up the map again. It's like it's the same fucking atlas. So they said that there's a reset. I have yet to see how to do that, but I'm at a point where it's like I would literally wipe and reset my atlas because like I cannot find the citadel. And I'm hearing people that are like, "Oh, I just spawned next to it. Like here's the burning model. And there's a citadel." But it's like I've played a lot, and I haven't seen any of these at all. So it's like I know I can buy the pieces because I'm in trade league, like a softcore cuck. But like I don't want to do that. Like I want to fight the boss. I want to fight the bosses. So there is a certain amount of there should be a pity timer. Like I've done so many maps. Give me a citadel, like please, for love of God, let me like play the game.
Yeah, the progression system that they ended up with in Path of Exile 1 for Pinnacles, I thought was pretty good. It's deterministic with some aura of randomness still involved in it with all the extra pinnacles. But the core pinnacles were, okay, you do X amount of maps. I think, I can't even remember. Is it 32 maps, 28 maps? I don't even remember at this point. But you do that number of maps, you're fighting the Searing Exarch. You're fighting the Eater of Worlds or whatever, right?
Yep.
I hope they bring that to PoE2 because that is going to be
completely agree.
Yeah, yeah. Bring it, guys.
The breach is fair because it's like, okay, just collect 300 splinters and, you just target the breaches, whatever. But like, I still thought the same thing when I was going through. It's like, I hit the end of the maps and it's like, okay, clear 15s, did the 50, whatever, it's done. Then I was expecting like, you've awakened the Maven or what, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be, here it is. And then it's like, no, go find the citadel. Well, I could find the citadel. That was the entire time I'm doing it. There's no citadel. So it's like, it's just like basically telling me to get lucky. Is what exactly. It says for my quest right now is get lucky, and it's like that's great, but like that's not interactive gameplay. So, yeah. Where's my boss, please?
Great point of feedback. I need to fight this guy. I need to fight the meme and get totally demolished by him, right? With one attempt, by the way. So I feel like if it's a meme of a fight, I feel like I'm gonna die in the first 5 seconds to something I don't even see coming.
Yeah, apparently there's extremely unfair one shots that like you literally never sinks feedback is that you literally have to Google it or you will be one shot. Like there's a minimum of two different mechanics that you must know how they work and they are unintuitive and you will get one shot. Like they are guaranteed 100% one shot and you have to know the mechanics like beforehand. So I'm still gonna go into it blind, but it's going to be an expensive blind run. Because I want to feel the feeling that other people feel when they do it to know what I'm talking about. But like it's probably going to be a good meme.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, very excited to fight that. Now, given there's the one shot mechanic for at least this guy, there's a few others throughout the game. I haven't experienced too many now that I've actually invested into defenses on my character. But do you think this game for people of medium skill level, let's say, would ever be hardcore viable?
Ever in the future, sure. Right now, no. There's too many issues, and there's again too much RNG. Like, okay, so first of all, ascendancies are tied behind like some bullshit. I'm not talking about Trials of Sekhmet. I'm talking about Ultimatum. So Ultimatum ranges from like, you know that meme of the guy who's like dancing, he's like happy while playing the game. Then you have the sweaty fucking guy. Okay, it's literally that. It's literally that in the game. So it's just too RNG for Trials. You go in there and like it's like, oh, you have turrets that just like poop out little bits of fire and do like zero fucking damage, and who cares? Okay. Or Ring of Doom that will literally one shot your character and you can have to stand in the middle. Like, I mean, it's just like the disparity is ridiculous. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. Some of them are literally, you have like 40% less defenses, or the mobs just have like additional modifiers, which would have been a bigger issue before they nerfed some of the modifier. But you know, you get my point. The RNG is crazy. That's not even the biggest RNG. You can then RNG in the end, which is what happened to my hardcore, into the tornado bird that spirals into a tornado, and God forbid you pick the monsters have increased speed, you can't run from it. It's faster than you. So he goes into a tornado, and if he has skill, if he has speed, you're just dead. You're just dead. He would just chase you down and it's fucking over. So I don't know how I feel about the Ultimatum RNG. I mean, I think the Ultimatum's super cool in the concept. But like there's in order to answer your question about hardcore viable, the game ain't balanced around hardcore. I'm gonna tell you that right now, son. I made it to level 48 as hardcore. I'm not doing it again. Oof. Like this 28 hours out the window. So I'm I'm good. Tornado Bird's a meme, and I don't want to get Spin to Win on again. Like I'm good.
Yeah. I think I'm shocked that Ultimatum has not been touched, because a lot of those RNG-based deaths and failures in the Trial of Chaos is just because a lot of those mods are overtuned. I think they're almost directly ported from Path of Exile 1. Some of the resistant mods that you can add to monsters, directly from PoE 1. The 300% increased crit chance, PoE 1, or monsters always crit? Oh my gosh, that's all in Path of Exile 1. So I think there's some tuning that needs to be done there. And those on-screen effects, like you said, the circle that expands and you got to stand in the middle. Dude, I chose that on my first time. I thought it was going to be easy.
Yeah, me too. It's not, brother.
Not at all. Not.
I mean, I understand you got to have some mods in there that will brick it. It's the same thing they say about light radius. Like, you have to have dog shit ones to make the good ones stand out more. I get that. Yeah. So, like, I don't want them to remove these or anything, but it's like the RNG around the ultimatum is like actually.
It's rough. I can imagine what 10 mods looked like at the end. I've only reached 6, and it was a ridiculous 6. I couldn't believe it. I could not stop moving or I would die. So I could swing my quarterstaff once, and then I had to move instantly. I couldn't even do my full combo. Oh my. It was wild. So I fought that bird once too. Screw that bird. Only once. That's all I need, man. That is a tough boss fight.
The rest of it can probably stay, if we're being honest. The bird's a little BS. And then okay, so then here's the other part. By time you hit, and you know, I did all these sentences, blah blah. So by time you hit the end of it, you're the fourth one to get your fourth ascendancy. You beat it, and you're like, holy shit, I did it. And you go to claim your points, and then you walk up, and you realize you didn't beat it, actually. You need to do it 2 more times. You have to do it a total of 3 times in order to get the puzzle pieces to open the door to then do the fight that will unlock it. So when you go to finish your ascendancy, you have to do Ultimatum 3 times. So if you're asking about Hardcore Viable, okay, good luck. Do Ultimatum 3 times in a row to even go into the fight, to then fight the Trial Master, who's the actual fight. So it's like, they really, really, really are proud of those Ascendancy points.
They think
that Ascendancy should be a big fucking deal, and it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you feel the same way about the Trial of the Sekhma, or Forbidden Sanctum and that, or have you not engaged with the third, fourth floors of that one just yet?
Trial of Sanctum almost made me review bomb the game. So when I was playing Warrior, I before the nerfs are good, okay, and I know, every time I fucking say this, someone's just like, yeah, 75% honest resistance skill issue. Okay, I know, thank you very much, first of all. Second of all, when you're playing Warrior, where I have a 0.32 second cast Asunder as my main skill, and I know I could respec my entire goddamn build for this one ascendancy. I understand, okay? Still, I walk into this thing, and the ritual dudes can literally spawn a fucking guy that will walk out of the portal, bury into the ground, pop out of the ground on top of me, and explode like a fucking grenade before my cast animation finishes. It's like, what am I doing playing this game? It's ridiculous. It's honestly ridiculous. It's one of the hardest I've ever tilted in the game. I want a full-on baby rage rant, like, moment of when I was trying to beat that stupid goddamn Sanctum dude. It was the stupidest shit of all time, and it actually made me hate the game for like a short period of time. And then, wow, you know, they nerfed it, thank God. But I had to do it 3 times until I beat it. And then I was like, I'm never doing this shit again. I'm 100% only doing Ultimatum from now on, because the trial ain't it. I'm talking on melee specifically. Went through on my mage, absolute joke. I just hold down spark button, it auto kills the entire map, and I just pick up my rewards. But on Warrior, God have mercy on your soul. It's not an enjoyable experience at all. Thank God for the changes.
This seems like the most divisive issue about Path of Exile 2 right now, because they lock behind one of the coolest and most build-defining features of the game. Behind 1, Trial of the Sekhma, which you encounter first, and then 2, the Trial of Chaos. I did a poll on YouTube and Twitter the past few days, and I was shocked to see that the majority of people greatly dislike these two systems, which did shock me, because, right, I feel like I am in a bubble, because I haven't been like watching a lot of videos or anything, and I've only played the Monk, which is way faster than the Warrior, right? And when I failed the first time as my Monk, it was on the first boss. I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go shift around, try some different stuff, go again. And I got it on my second try. But I also had good RNG with the rooms. I also had great boons. I also did not have attacks that take 2 to 3 seconds to wind up or anything. And I think I have like decent reaction time and I'm patient, right? Which is not a skill that I don't think you need in the rest of Path of Exile 2. I think in the Trial of the Sekhma especially, patience is king, especially when you're in those rooms with the traps and everything, and even when you're fighting that final boss pre-nerf when he had the volcanoes and everything. I just wonder if they're going to stand strong or if they are going to make big shifts to these systems, or maybe, I don't know, it's just so weird.
The solution, in my opinion, is obvious. So what I think they should do is that the third one, yeah, you know how there's trios, there's ultimatum, yep, and then they're going to have a third one you can choose from, is fucking free. It just needs to be free
like
mechanic.
Kill monsters.
It's just a baby's first ARPG. The square goes in the square hole. Like, just make it free, okay? So right, you can, the ascendancies, in my point, shouldn't be a point where you literally have to do this like giant meme in order to do it. I obviously think the trial is now in a much better place. I would love the third one to be like fucking Blight or something, where you literally just build towers and you don't even have to interact with the game. Like, just do something that people can just get the points without doing this. It's not, honestly, bro, it's not even the balance, okay? Like, the balance, like, they're fixing it, they're balancing it, whatever, system, okay? Yeah. Forget the balance. We can argue it's a skill. You can just call me dog shit in the comments. I don't care. That's fine. Okay, fine, I'm dog shit. I can't be it, whatever. You know, it took me forever, whatever. The part that is actually the main point is they took the most unfun shit imaginable and made it mandatory. I don't even care that it's hard at this point. It's like they took like, what do people hate the most? Sanctum, ultimatum. You're gonna fucking eat your veggies and you're gonna like it. It's like, like, what are we doing, guys? Like, no one like ultimatum's cool, I guess you can kill some mobs, but you guys picked like, no one likes this shit. What are we doing? Like, can we have one that's actually fun, please? That's all I'm asking for. Just have it be a fun mode.
I think what they were trying to do was make getting ascendancies super hard, ridiculously hard, by choosing the two hardest things, I'd say, in Path of Exile 1 that are leagues, right? And putting them into Path of Exile 2 with a new coat of paint. I think that's what they were trying to do. And going from lab to that is wild. Because, sorry, Azaro, I apologize. Lab's like a joke, honestly. Very easy. Sure, easy. It's tedious, but that thing is easy as all get out.
No, lab. I actually miss lab now. Like, I playing
that's what
it actually
saying,
made
man.
Me miss. It makes me miss Azaro. And not only that, but Azaro is so like thematically fucking awesome. Like, he has the best voice lines in the entire game, in my opinion. The lab is like, okay, it's a literal maze. But you know what else is a maze? The entire goddamn game. So like, I don't even care anymore that that the labyrinth was a maze. That's Act 3, we're running that shit anyway, and it's not like we don't have to deal with traps, they're in the Sanctum, so it's like, Lab was just a better version of what we have, at least Lab was like, had a cool theme around it, I don't know, maybe I'm just a Sanctum hater, I'm sure there's people who love Sanctum and then probably love it, Ultimatum I think is legitimately cool, it's just I don't like the RNG around it, like Ultimatum could very easily fix, and I'm hoping the third one is something else, but the Ascendancy thing was, in my opinion, pretty like, major annoying issue, which they're obviously like been going back, and the last patch was massive addressing this issue, so it's significantly easier than it was. But yeah, I think for the first week here, it was pissing some people off, no doubt.
I've ran into a few people that, you know, they ran it and they said, hey Kitty, what's going on? My cat's not in here, unfortunately, or else I'd tell her to say hi. Some people, you know, ran it and they quit, and I hope they give it a second chance after the changes, and maybe there will be some further stuff. I'm really curious to see, after everything is sat for about a month and GGG is back in, if they'll take the Path of Exile 1 approach that they did a long time ago and write out manifestos and ideas like, you know, okay, we hear all this feedback. Here are our thoughts on it. Let's discuss. Last Epoch in 11th Hour Games is doing something really interesting, and I think, you know, your favorite OSRS does this too, where they have the community vote on certain things, and I don't think Grinding Your Games will ever go that far, but
please,
now is the time for people to give feedback, and I really wonder if they're going to go into that hyper communicative state that Path of Exile 1 was in for such a long time. When I started playing, they were like that, where they would write out really long forum posts and they would literally go into the comments and like type back to you like, okay, here's what we're thinking, right? In response to people's critiques and feedback and everything. I hope they do that for Path of Exile too. I'm kind of curious.
I feel like
would
they're kind
like
of
that.
I think they're like literally already doing that. Maybe
in
not
the
like
patch
the giant
notes, they did
forum
a little
post.
Bit. They did.
I mean, we're only, I want to say what, 13, 14 days
14,
into
yep.
release. And
yep.
we've had multiple major patches directly addressing issues that the community has been vocal on with their, like, admittedly small, but breakdowns of yes. why the changes yep. were going. So it's like, I look at it, it's like, what else do I really realistically want? I mean, maybe they could have a manifesto, sure, but, like, they're quite literally addressing, like, the things that I'm bitching about. And if, like, I made a video, and it was, like, 24 hours later, the video was invalidated. Because they literally changed like basically every single thing I complain about. Like I'm not, you know, it's like I'll be vocal about what I don't like, but then yeah. when they change, they're like, cool, you know, they're doing it. So it's, I had some things that were making me a little bit miserable, but like the game is going to be really good because you can yeah. already see how I mean, we're 14 days in, dude,
only
14, access, and they're all and they've already addressed like most of the major complaints, and there are still going to. Hopefully address some of the other like in-game related ones.
Yeah, it's sure. all going to be iteration. You know, it's early access. They're going to be building on this for the next decade plus or something. And the next 6 months, 12
it's
months.
Be a long
time. It's going to be a long time. I think this game is going to have staying power. You see that with the... It's a microcosm, right? Because we're obviously talking about 2 weeks, but even the Steam player numbers right now are insane. Like, I pay attention to greater gaming industry, like news and trends, and listen to videos about that. And watching the player numbers of both this game, Path of Exile 2, and Marvel Rivals, which I think launched on the same day as Path of Exile 2, these two brand new games have just been killing it in terms of player attention. It's awesome. So even though there are lots of valid complaints and people that might be mad about the game, it does have that staying power already. And it's early access. It's really cool to see. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, POE1 had complaints on launch, too, from what I was understanding. I wasn't there for the launch of POE1 either. D4 had their complaints on launch and slowly been grinding into a better version. Like, last Epoch had their complaint. Like, ARPGs in general fall prey to, like, the beginning iteration of the launch of a game have, you know, a fairly substantial issues. I can't think of any ARPG that has launched that I have been part of covering. That actually maybe V Rising, honestly, but hasn't really been any ARPG I can think of that just like hasn't had issues and just launched like pretty much done. So like I see issues. I'll be vocal about issues or say what the issues are. It's literally my job to do so. But then outside of that, it's like, do I have faith that the game's going to be really good? Yeah, of course. Like, of course, the POE1 is fucking awesome. It's the same company. Like, they're going to make a good POE 2. There's some issues, admittedly. But, I mean, I'm enjoying the game a lot. So, what am I going to go do? Go play a worse ARPG? Like, no, I'm going to play this one. I'm going to wait for it to drop the druid so I can play the fucking druid finally. I was really hoping the druid was going to be on launch.
Please, man. Is that your most exciting class that you're looking forward to?
You know, it druid? Was, but now I'm thinking Templar. Because, like, Energy Shield is completely disgusting in this game. So I'm thinking shield armor plus energy shield is going to be like very disgusting. So I'm actually thinking Templar, to be honest.
Plus and the flail looks flail. Cool. Right.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be interesting. I enjoy how different all the weapons feel, at least so far. I've played warrior, I've played monk, and I've played mercenary. The weapons so distinct. Like they nailed that part. Where everything does feel very dissimilar from each other. And it's not like POE1 where your weapon is a stat stick. Like if you're using a sword, an axe, and a mace, they all feel the same, right? Or a staff or a wand, they feel very similar. So I really like how they nailed that. I'm looking forward to see what they're doing with flails. So
you're mostly looking forward to Templar as well? Or
oh, God, no, dude. Druid. All the way. That has been my... Since I played Diablo 2 when I was a kid, I always gravitated toward the druid and transformations, even playing D&D and the like. So I am very excited for the druid and the werebear, because that still my favorite Path of Exile 2 trailer moment of all time is when they first reveal the werebear and it rears up on its hind legs on the bridge and then like slams across it in Act 2 and the entire thing shakes and all the skeletons shatter and fly across. Oh, I need that. I need it.
So you said from when you were a kid, how'd you get into gaming? What was what was your experience? Yeah, how'd you get in?
It was my dad. My dad showed me gaming. Okay. I started learning to read Baldur's Gate 1.
No shit.
Not books. I was reading books too. But going through the dialogue on like Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, and then I was playing like Diablo 2 when I was like 4 or 5, I remember. Neverwinter Nights. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that one, but that was our favorite for years. My dad ran a persistent world with a bunch of other people who he played D&D with when he was in high school. And they ran this place called Dragon Mountain, and they were dungeon masters on it. And you could create your own world in a tile set. And then while people were actually playing the game, you could then come in as a mod or a DM inside of the game and create quests live, just like you do in Dungeons and Dragons in this game. I still think that's one of the greatest games of all time. I am so sad that no one has really iterated on it, but I know why. It's because they put so much power into the hands of the players. The devs weren't necessarily needed because they gave them this tool set. And there are still like mini MMOs being played today in Neverwinter Nights Enhanced Edition. It's super cool.
Yeah, they had the version, they had a game called Neverwinter, which sort of relaunched on the Xbox also, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, Neverwinter is the, I think that's the current one that they're really paying attention to. They had Dungeons & Dragons Online, which I was really big into. You can tell I really like D&D, so that's, my dad liked it, he liked those games. I played pen and paper for a long time. I was a DM up until I had kids, and then that sadly faded away, so... You know,
well, it's hard to sit down for 4 hours when you get busy, I'm sure. How many kids you got?
I have 2 kids. So today is one of their 4-month birthdays. You know, I don't know what we celebrate this, you know, as we count up to the first year. So, yeah, doing really well, doing really well. Can't wait to show them games. I don't know if I'm going to do it as early as my dad did, though, you know.
We had a very similar experience. My dad's how I got into gaming also. I saw my
dad. How early did you start playing?
So I'd say my earliest memory, I must have been 5, and 4 or 5, like pretty young. And my dad was playing a game called Descent by Interplay. He played Descent, he played Myst, and he played Super Metroid. Those were like pretty much the first games I ever saw. And then the first game I ever got my hands on was Street Fighter, because when my mom left the house, he took Street Fighter and put it in the Super Nintendo and was like, all right, Casey, you're a big boy today. You get to play Street Fighter. And I picked up a controller, and then my dad like absolutely kicked my ass for like the 45 minutes while my mom was gone. And it was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
But that was, you know, feeling good to be involved. That was kind of like my first experience in gaming as well. So I share that lineage with you of like the dad playing video games. And I don't know really what happened, but at some point my dad just kind of stopped playing video games.
Oh, yeah.
But my brother was playing. He played games like Sims and Age of Empires and stuff. And then we would go back and forth like 20 minutes on the clock, on the oven, you know, doing
exactly. Yeah, 100%. Same exact thing. Age of Empires, did you ever play Age of Mythology or no?
I played like pretty much all the ages. Yeah, my brother was super into those. I would just do hand-me-down games. So like whatever my brother was playing, I'd pretty much give a shot. That's actually how I found RuneScape back in the day. He played it with a friend, and then they didn't like it, so then I just kept playing.
Age of Mythology just had a retold version release. Dude, if you're looking for some nostalgia with your brother, it's really good. It's excellent. I got absorbed into it for a little bit before Path of Exile 2 came out. I got all of my high school friends and like middle school friends who also used to play with me to buy it. And we had a 12-person free-for-all online. Oh, dude, it was really fun. We had a great time.
Age of Empires 4 is pretty good, too, if you like the Age of Empires series. I got about 100 hours in Age of Empires 4.
See, I've never tried it. I've had people tell me that it's good. I played AoE 3 quite a bit. Never bought 4, though. So maybe I need to give it a go just to try it out.
You missed the best one. Age of Empires 2 was the best one.
I played a tiny bit of AoE 2, and then I went right into Age of Mythology. I do know AoE 2 is the best one, and there's lots of tournaments around it, and people are still finding new strategies today.
Oh, yeah. C9000 still doing tournaments to this day and making content on it, yeah.
See, that's really, really cool. Those games have some staying power, and I know RTS has been like a meme or people aren't developing it, but man, it feels good to go back and play those style of games after like playing something like PoE and stuff. Yeah. So, very, very fun. Sure, man. All right, I would be remiss, dude, if I didn't ask you a little bit about Huey 2 and Diablo 4. Now, I don't want to, this isn't D4 bash thread, guys. None of that, okay?
Go for it, bro. People are gonna ask anyway.
Nah. Similarities, I'm curious. Obviously, you know, blew up with D4 last year.
Sure.
Do you see any similarities between D4's launch and PeeWee2's early access launch that, you know, are immediately apparent or might not be so apparent to people who are just at a glance paying attention to these, you know, watching your videos and the like?
Okay, well, I mean, I guess it depends upon which way we're talking similarities. Are we talking similarities from the player base? Are we talking similarities from a marketing perspective? Similarities from gameplay or similarities from a content creator perspective? Like, what's your question?
Let's go gameplay.
I would say there's more similarities between PoE2 than there is from PoE1 and D4. I mean, notably, we have things like dodge roll, right?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely slower pacing. You know, bosses are more prevalent. I don't know if I necessarily see too many similarities beyond that, other than ease of use of understanding of the game. Something D4 does really well, and in my opinion, should actually get credit for, is taking players that do not play ARPGs, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I mean, they literally just don't play the genre, and being able to teach those people what an ARPG is about and be able to make them comfortable with the game. D4 does this very well, and then they had to do it very well because of the demographic in which they were targeting, which was every fucking person on the planet, essentially. The marketing was everywhere. You had Megan Fox out there talking about Shroud dying. You had KFC throwing D4 in your face. They're still running ads to this day. I didn't even know they were doing this, but I was getting texts from people like, I just saw you in the UFC ad, because apparently they were putting our faces on a Diablo ad for the UFC and WWE and shit. So that's kind of cool, but at the same time, I mean, they're still advertising this game. So they're grabbing everyone they can. They threw a very wide net, so they had to teach people the game. And I actually think that this is something that, while it's easier to say D4 bad and all that shit, it's something D4 does very well, and honestly other games should learn from, which is the ability to have a game that anyone can play and be able to actually play, not play and then suffer. So that is actually I think, something they did very well. And I think Path of Exile 2 has made strides towards this mark in a way Path of Exile 1 most obviously did not. In fact, infamously did not. In which PoE2 is much more understandable than PoE1. And I think they need to continue to go this way as much as possible and continue to add iterations into the game that teach people the game as you go. Because while PoE2 already has more depth than D4, you know, the depth is not still explained as thoroughly as I would love it to be. So that way, as they cast that wider net, more of the people will stay caught in the net.
Yeah, I think that a lot of that is sensible, especially with D4 and accessibility. I think they do a really good job with that. I think they've won awards for it.
They have,
Yeah, so more of that sort of implementation, tutorialization, and accessibility in PoE2, I think would be a great thing. Now, looking at another ARPG that I know you've also played, Last Epoch. Any learnings specific from Last Epoch that you think PoE2 could implement?
Yeah,
I feel like there's an obvious one.
Yeah, there is. I mean, to be honest, it hurts my heart a little bit anytime I have to say negative about Last Epoch. I don't know why, you know? I mean, I've been sponsored by all these games, and, you know, I've done interviews with literally all of the devs for all the ARPGs, but for some reason, Last Epoch's got, like, a special place in my heart. Like, I want them to do good.
They are, and will, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they are doing great. I think they did great. I don't know if they're continuing to do great. Like, I think Last Epoch has some fundamental learnings we can learn from it, which is your in-game has to not be repetitive and boring and basically be an infinitely moving goalpost. I think if, for instance, PoE2 had tier 1 through infinite sign maps, and what happened is you just slowly move up the maps and that's how the progression scales, then I think the game would be significantly worse. And I think that that is one of the, I don't know if I'd say mistakes, but that's one of the systems Last Epoch has in that didn't grab me fundamentally, which is I got to the end game and I just didn't feel like I had any progression that actually made me give a shit. So I don't really like the corruption system personally. So you could argue D4 does the same thing with the rift system. I actually don't like the rift system either. So these infinitely moving goalposts of like, I'm just at X whatever tier without like something at the end, like a pinnacle boss, for instance. And you could argue the pinnacle bosses get moved back, et cetera, but it's still like a giga boss as opposed to, you know, just corruption on a map or something. I actually think the way that Last Epoch failed, in my opinion, was the monolith system is just incredibly boring. I know there's people that really like it, but I maybe it's well designed. You could even argue it's well designed, and maybe I'd even give up on my take on that. But like, I just think it's incredibly boring in the end game, at least in my personal opinion. And yeah. That's where I hope gets changed, because I really do want that game to do well, you know?
Definitely. I think, you know, one thing that Path of Exile 2 maybe could learn from Last Epoch as well in a positive direction would be like the crafting. I think that's something, once it clicked in my head, I mean, D4 implemented a version of the crafting too. I feel like it's just so good, and the developers there, they really put a lot of thought and time into it, and it turned out so well once you just understand the basics. Oh, I hope something like that comes to PewE too, with a GGG spin on it would be really, really cool.
And the crafting was well received by a lot of people. And, yeah. You know, was they had iterations on the crafting in other games too. And I mean, even GGG themselves called out Last Epoch for some inspiration. So, yeah, sure.
Yeah, looking to the future with them, I feel like, I know people are saying they've fallen off a little bit. They haven't had an update in like 4 or 5 months, which is an eternity when it comes to like ARPGs. I'll be really curious to see what happens when their next one comes out in February or March, whenever that might actually be in the new year. Because I know they're trying to pack a lot of that stuff into it, especially feedback that you just gave. I think on the monoliths, I think they've basically surrounded themselves with all these different monolith ideas, and they're trying to implement all the good ones in this next update per that last development thing they put out. So it'll be really curious to see what happens with Last Epoch, because that's also when I fell off. It was monoliths. Even though I really enjoyed building up my character and experimenting with it a little bit, it was a very different feel from Path of Exile and Diablo 4, which I do like. I want all these ARPGs to be different, like really different. I'm going to play all of them a little bit, right? You want that type of feel.
Yeah, I think Last Epoch's biggest selling point was the fact that PoE1 was enormously complicated and D4 wasn't complicated enough. And so Last Epoch kind of hit the middle ground, was like the most common talking point we saw when the game was released. You know, PoE1 too much for you, D4 too little, come to Last Epoch. That was effectively the sales pitch, which maybe would be a good sales pitch when PoE2 doesn't exist and D4 doesn't add more content. But both of those things happened. And so Last Epoch kind of lost its niche a little bit of being in between. And so I think at this point, Last Epoch basically needs to just fundamentally make good content in and of itself enough to bring people in for their content specifically, as opposed to like the lack of other things games has.
Definitely. Definitely. Now, I want to ask, after talking about these three ARPGs just for a little bit, from your perspective, someone who's been gaming for a very long time and who's played many different games, I know last year, or was it this year? Man, it's this year. You did a lot of variety. You played a lot of different games on stream for the first time. I think Witcher, you know, you played Witcher 3 for the first time.
Cyberpunk, Elden Ring.
Cyberpunk, all these games. Looking at all those games, can you think of any content or idea that you think ARPGs as a genre could steal blatantly and implement and just become better? Can you think of anything that really stands out to you from these sort of games?
I mean, it's a real good question. I struggle a little bit with it, because when I look at it, like, I'm thinking of things like, you know, I like drop in, drop out, good co-op on, you know, like the ball. Like, I'm thinking like Elden Ring bossing implementation systems. I like when I was, you know, playing Cyberpunk, like actual side quests that change the impact of lore and stuff. Like, I'm thinking of like these different types of systems that are actually pretty cool.
Like that.
But then I don't really think those variety of games that I'm playing for anything that an ARPG has to offer, which is like continual character progression and interaction of the systems going into late game. So I don't know if I necessarily want any of these things to be brought to an ARPG. I could name something just for the sake of the answer. But like, when I come to my head and I think about it, it's like, no, like, I don't actually really think there is too much. Like, I think the ARPGs can steal from each other. I don't know if I necessarily want concepts getting stolen from other games to go into it. I think that's kind of how we got into the dodge roll thing in ARPGs. Like, people were basically taking the concept of dodge rolls, where we get no rest for the wicked, in which they kind of take a bunch of other concepts from another game and add it to an ARPG. I mean, fair enough. I almost would beg to differ, to do the opposite. Like, look more within the old genre and go back to what ARPGs had and focus more on what ARPGs originally are, as opposed to going out and grabbing concepts that sell well in all these other big name games.
Yeah.
I probably actually, hopefully they do the opposite and stay in the niche. It's very often I see games get ruined when they decide to do something else that another game is doing. Like, I'll give you an example. Star Wars Galaxies, one of the best games I've ever played in my life. Okay, probably my favorite MMO, even more so than RuneScape, which I know is weird to say, but the only reason I still talk about RuneScape is RuneScape still exists. Star Wars Galaxies only has Star Wars Galaxies Restoration or Star Wars Galaxies Emulator. And I'm not going to play in a server with five other people. They're all my age, and, you know, we just all pretend to be a stormtrooper. So what happened with that game was World of Warcraft came out and started spanking basically everyone in the genre. And all of these MMOs immediately got ruined because people started changing their MMOs to be more WoW-like. Well, if I wanted to play WoW, I'd just go play fucking WoW, because WoW literally does the better version of WoW anyway. I don't want Star Wars to be WoW. I want Star Wars to be Star Wars, and I want WoW to be WoW, and I'll play both of them. But instead, what they did is they said, we're losing market share, and they go out and start copying what other games are doing. Well, when you make a copy of something, it's always a worse iteration of it. And that's basically what happened with a lot of games. And I don't think that just happened with MMOs either. So I would probably say, to thy own self be true. And I know you can take inspirations from other games, but sometimes I kind of hope games don't, to be honest.
Yeah, just look to what made them successful in the past and continue to innovate. I think GGG has done that for a long time with Path of Exile. They just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. Like with the Atlas and PoE1, I think they saw, okay, people really like this. Let's just keep going and iterating on this system year after year after year. I think that was the coolest stretch in all of Path of Exile 1, when they were doing like every three leagues, they would do an Atlas expansion and just continue iterating on that one system and really drawing people deeper within. So I totally understand that. I get that. And minor inspirations, you know, like the leagues, right? Like Blight, Tower Defense. I think that's really cool. But I also understand the fact that, you know, they shouldn't try to chase a trend. Somebody came up, was it freaking Asmin, had a video where he was talking about, you know, if you're a trend-chasing gaming company and it takes you 5 years to make a game, you're just going to miss out on the trend entirely. And you're going to end up with a crap game. You should just have a clear vision of what you think is fun and players will think is fun and go with that, instead of being like, oh yeah, let's make another Fortnite or something like that. So yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, pretty much. I will say there's one, to answer your question though, I'll give you one answer. Cause I thought, there was a game called Battle Right, which a little bit of lore. It was actually the first video I ever published on my OG YouTube channel. Was actually a Battle Right video of me just opening a bunch of like loot boxes in the game. It's very on brand for me. And the game Battle Right was fucking awesome, because it was you just go in and you would just kick some ass, and then that was it. That was the whole game. It's just these concise, quick combats. I would love to have like a mini game arena where you go in with characters and you just fucking fight it out in Battle Right style. I love the very fast, just instanced, fair arena style fighting, like 5-10 minute matches. You know, that's why I like Lost Ark PvP so much, which was like a hot take. But like, I love these PvP is separate from your characters, just fight it out, you know, with a type of character. I would love to see ARPGs somehow make that work. I know PvP doesn't balance, and PvP is dog shit in ARPGs. I know that, but like arena fighting style. Mm-hmm. is so enjoyable, and I just come from that perspective because I loved Battle Royale and I love Lost Ark PvP, in which you just have characters that are not your main characters. You go into and just fight like a straight up fight. I think that would be super cool.
You're speaking with some people like Battle Royale, think it's based. So that does sound like an interesting
it was
idea.
A great game. It was a game based upon a game called Bloodline Champions.
Okay.
Back in the day, it was their sequel, and it's very well done.
Yeah. I'm really wanting some sort of boss rush in PoE or another ARPG, like Black Myth Wukong, where it's like you change as bosses to get you're in a gauntlet.
That'd be cool.
And that would be so good in PoE. Can you imagine that, dude? If there was like a tower and you go from boss to boss to boss, and they just iterate, like continually get harder and harder and harder. Oh,
that would actually be pretty cool. Yeah,
I feel like that could be a league. They could just deliver that on a silver platter, you know, maybe add some random mods to the bosses, just steal them from the campaign, put them in there. You know, you have to earn this key, whatever you get from fighting map bosses. I don't know. I want that to be in the game so badly. It would be great. So, all right. I also wanted to touch on one thing before we close out today. We're at about an hour. One more thing.
I got no rush or anything.
I've got kids that I gotta go take care of. So
right.
I hear them. They're getting very loud.
Fair enough.
But I have watched one of your videos since PoE 2 has launched, and I knew it was not going to be PoE 2 spoiler centric. So I was like, we're safe. It was a direct to camera, disheveled DM look.
That's just my unshowered dude. That dude's been playing
Path of Exile too. Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
I was like, all right, wholesome video time. I think it's safe. I'm going to listen to it. And man, it was such a nice heartfelt address, and just, it's crazy to see the success. I saw a tweet. You hit 30,000 subs on Twitch today.
Oh, I thought you were going the message to all PoE 2 players video, but you're talking about the one from yesterday
or the day before.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, man. Like, your success during PoE 2. How freaking awesome is that to see after, like, I know you referenced your Quinn interview, and it's like, you know, I'm going to peak in D4 and you shouldn't have that mindset.
Sure,
and then bam, PoE 2 comes around. Oh my. It's been amazing. Congrats.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I appreciate it. You know, I don't, yeah, definitely didn't expect it, but you know, I've seen that for whatever reason, the audience I have is a statistical anomaly in the amount of support I've ever seen. So I got 1400 viewers right now. I'm, you know, not the smallest streamer ever. I'm definitely not the biggest streamer ever. We're like somewhere in the middle to lower middle. And, you know, the numbers don't really make sense for the size I am. But, you know, obviously GGG with the alley oop because of the, you know, the gifted sub promo that's going on. But we've had my audience is kind of like wildly supportive. Yeah. So I don't really know what to say about that other than like it's you know, I'm very appreciative of it, and it's helped a lot, obviously. I mean, it's much better situation than I've been in, even just, you know, I mean, right before D4, I was in like a very drastically different situation. So, you know, I've obviously felt the change, you know, in amount that's. Look, man, I've been able to help not just myself, but like family members multiple times.
That's so amazing,
stuff.
Dude.
So it's to the point where it's like I'm being able to like impact people I care about's lives, which is kind of a whole nother feeling than just like I'm good. You know, it's like being able to like try to make sure other people are good is actually been really important to me. So,
well, I think that's why a lot of people really enjoy listening to your content, watching it. You know, I've missed my daily dose of DM. Like, just hearing your takes. Ooh, not your tapes, DM. Sorry, we're not going to get into that today.
Well, we
we're not talking about
Riker
and DM today, okay? We're not doing that today, guys. That's not this pod. they're usually just so level-headed and calming, and that is something that I really, really appreciate in my life, which is very hectic, and there's a lot of strife and drama going on at work and everything, and all this, and then I can just chill, listen, you know. I liked your infotainment stuff too. You're very funny. So I'm glad that you're not doing the pinnacle yet. You haven't found it, because that means I can turn on my DM videos again, start listening again. And when you find the Citadel, then I can peace out. Then we're like, okay, all right, we're not watching anymore. But congratulations. Well, that's just so awesome, man. I'm so happy for you.
Well, I appreciate the compliment. You know, I'm happy to see, because we had the chance to meet here, and not to be like too sappy, but I'm happy to see that things have been going, you know, the way you were hoping that they were going to go. It's been very good for you. And, you know, the growth is there. I'm glad to see it. I don't want to sound wrong, but like, you know, you get the hate sometimes for being like too positive. You know what I mean?
For the
people that watch, it's like, the dude's literally just that fucking guy. Like, he's still that fucking guy. Like, it's not, I don't know. So you're the same dude on and off camera from the times I've met you. So, you know, I'm happy for you as well, you know, to see that it's going good and that you're mostly enjoying all of the months. So.
Yeah, 100%. It's been great. So I really appreciate it. I got to learn to, I got to get thicker armor. You know, I just got to stack that up. It's okay. The hates, it's not that bad, honestly. You know, a lot of it too, I don't think it's directly fueled by me. It might be fueled by something else going on, whether it's, you know, in life, with the game, whatever. So I just got to understand that. It's not a big deal anymore. I was very affected by it before, but at this point, I'm chill.
I've been there too. I get my fair share of being flamed, so.
Yeah. If I get flamed, what am I do? I am going to reach out to people. I'm going to say, let's chat. Flamer, let's do it. And I actually have a few people surprised that I will be talking with in the next month. People are gonna be like, holy, wait a second, didn't that dude just trash try? Yeah, you know, you just be a big person and you chat and cool things can happen. So
any sneak peeks? We got names being dropped here.
Do I leak the name? I don't know if they'll. Because we don't have a day yet. We have a confirmation. It is the biggest brained Path of Exile 1 and 2 person who is causing Grinding Gear Games to single-handedly just crush builds into oblivion, okay?
Are you having Jungroan on the podcast?
That's the plan. Okay. That's the plan. It's going to be good.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to tune into that one.
It's going to be interesting. We'll see how many more builds he gets destroyed before then. It'll be a really interesting chat. Maybe it could be just a catalog of each build. We just go through them, you know, the reactions and how GGG addresses it. It'll be really interesting. I can't
wait. Are you having Quinn on the podcast? When do we get to see
him? Okay, you know what, DM, you talk to Quinn. I don't know. How is he with you?
I don't talk to him, right?
A year ago.
Interviewed me like a year ago for content on his live stream. Every now and then I'll leave him a like, you know, hey man, you know, good to see you doing well. I'll leave a one line message every 6 months in the Discord. I don't have a relationship with the guy. He's giving me some advice on a technical setup on Twitter one time. That's about the most interaction I've had with him. So you can't go through me, sir. I would
love to chat with Quinn because I am a Quinn consumer. I think his rip clips are freaking hilarious. I've watched him since I started playing Path of Exile 1. I've added him on Twitter, you know, and he's liked the tweet, but he has never responded to me at all. And he did defend me against his chat when he watched my interview with Jonathan. It was very kind of him, you know. So maybe
he's
one
day.
He's
nicer than you think, to be honest.
Oh, dude, I know he's nice. Come on.
Yeah.
He's a chill dude. So maybe one day it'll happen. You know, I'm not afraid of the brand risk. I'm totally fine with it. I'd love to talk to Quinn. I see people asking about Hog. Hog is January 21st. We already have that locked in, dude. I'm going to talk to Hog. I wish it could have been earlier because I know that he is currently upset with the game. And I'd love to get
him. Yeah, Hog's not having a very good... He's not having a good experience.
No. So
he's mauling a little bit over there.
He is not happy. So yeah, he's coming back on, but it's a little bit late. It's like literally a month from today. So it's going to be a good time. A lot of diverse voices. People I totally disagree with. People I probably would have never talked to like 6 months ago. I'm just going to chat with everybody. See how it goes. It'll be a fun time. And if not, content. So there you go.
All right. Farm it up, baby.
All right. Well, DM man, I do hear them screaming downstairs, so I'm going to go need to help them. Thank you so much for hopping on today. I really appreciate it. Everybody already knows who you are. Like, I don't need to do a shout out to your channel. Twitch, YouTube, many YouTube channels, live on Twitch. What is it, 3 p.m. Pacific time every day? Or is it 12 p.m. Pacific time?
Typically like 11 a.m. PST, 2 p.m. EST. But like, I sleep in every now and then, yeah.
See, you can tell I haven't been listening to your streams. I've already forgotten when you go live.
All the
so
time.
Sad.
I
know, heresy. Oh my God. Seriously. All right, man. It's been great. Everybody's watching on YouTube. Thank you so much. Make sure to like the video, hit subscribe. I'll see you in the next one.